Would you please rise in heart or body for the reading of God's word? Today, Pastor teaches from the Apostle Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians verses 10 through 24. I will read verses 10 through 13. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." You may be seated.
In chapter 13 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is the chapter on sanctification, the second and third section acknowledge the difficulty of godliness in the Christian life. And sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers to make them holy, to make them more and more like Jesus, the writers say is imperfect in this life. Remnants of sin's corruption remain in us. The flesh against the spirit against the flesh. And this battle we all understand and struggle with is called a continual and irreconcilable war. A war with sin. We are at war. We are at war with our sin. Throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul has referenced various sins that we've struggled with, some of them with detail, some in general, like the world and the flesh. Here in today's passage, there's an acknowledgement of another source of temptation to sin, the devil, Satan himself. And before we make our way through today's passage, let's look at the first word of verse 10. Kirk just read it for us. It's the word "finally." Finally marks the beginning of the end of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And sadly for us, the end of our sermon series through this amazing letter. And we're going to follow it up with a complimentary word from another of Paul's letters next Sunday. But today is our final day in Ephesus. Note that what Paul says after "finally." Look at your Bibles. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." We are at war with sin. It comes at us from all directions. And we're tempted to indulge, and we're tempted to compromise our testimony and grieve the Spirit. Sometimes blatantly, sometimes ignorantly. It's a war we will battle with throughout our earthly lives. But we must battle. And so look at the person who you came with, or look at someone close to you. Look at me, if you have to, and encourage one another right now by saying this: "Be strong in the Lord." Look at someone else: "Be strong in the Lord. And in the strength of his might." I'm often annoyed when preachers ask the congregation to talk to one another like that. But man, in this passage, it's just right there. It's right there. Verse 10 not only signals the end of this letter, but it's like Paul's final word. It's his final word to this church about how to live for Christ. And as we're going to see again, one of the main things that God has given us to persevere and win this war, one of them, is one another. So be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray. Lord, your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And so would you help us to live in its light now as your spirit works? Help us to hear your voice clearly above all other competing voices. We pray for those among us who don't know Jesus, that by your word you would show them their own sin and need apart from him. You would show them that Jesus is a perfect Savior for them, and then would you draw them to him. Work by your word in all our hearts to equip us to live for your glory. Now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the marks of this first section of our passage, verses 10 to 13, is the repetition of the word stand. Did you hear that when Kirk read it for us? Repetitive words are often pointing us to the main idea of the passage or of the section of the passage, and we see it and we hear it in verses 10 to 13, then on to the next section at verse 14. Being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might means we must stand firm. We must stand firm in our biblical convictions. Now, that can apply in any number of arenas of our lives, but there are two things to remember about what Paul is saying here. First, he's just spoken about how Christians relate to one another in the family. So we need to keep that in mind. But second, he tells us in verses 11 and 12 the kind of battle he means. Both of those things are important for us today. The battle that Paul is encouraging us to stand firm in is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So our passage today is not just an acknowledgement that there's a spiritual battle, but a call to arms. It's a call to arms. Paul wants us to be ready. And notice who the enemy is. This is a battle against demonic, satanic powers. Now, before you check out, because you're not sure you believe in that sort of thing, or maybe you're thinking, well, that's not my problem. I don't have any spiritual battles going on in my life right now. Paul is saying that it is your problem. And if you do not know that you're waging a spiritual battle, you're either losing that battle or you're not yet a believer. And this is not some sort of parting shot Paul gives us either. Oh, by the way, there's a spiritual battle going on, so don't forget about that. Paul alerted us to this back in chapter 1. So what he really is doing here is coming back around before he signs off. He began with this and he ends with it. He reminded us first that God has already won the spiritual battle for us in verse 20, chapter 1, when he raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That should be a tremendous relief to us. We are to be vigilant for sure, not ignorant of the spiritual battle at all, but reminded that it has already been eternally won for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are battling a remnant and will continue to do so until Jesus comes again to finally defeat his enemies and reign victorious forever. And did you notice where the spiritual battle is? It's in the heavenly places. Paul also said this in chapter 1, verse 3. You might remember verse 3, except we were so excited to get to election and predestination in verse 4 that we missed it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's not talking about the spiritual battle against sin there. He's talking about where our union with Christ began in verse 3 of chapter 1. So the place of our salvation and the place of our ongoing battle against sin is the same place. You know what that means? Spiritual blessing and spiritual warfare go together. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot be saved and expect an easy life in this world after that. You can't do that. You have a target on your back. But you are also united to Christ and to one another. Together, we follow Jesus. And following Jesus is often countercultural, and it's hard. So we must stand firm in the face of spiritual battle. So where will this spiritual battle take us? If we think about spiritual warfare at all, and I know many of us don't, I know many pastors don't. It seems kind of out there, you know, or it's associated with more high-profile battles, spiritual things that we face or that are going on in the world, like in the area of human trafficking that we're involved with as a church on a couple of fronts. And that's right. There is no doubt spiritual warfare is being waged in that battle against human trafficking. As Mark mentioned earlier, Gary and I are going to leave in a little over a month on a rescheduled, think spiritual battle, rescheduled trip to a place dominated by pagan voodoo religions. We need your financial support. We need your material support with stuff for babies and moms. But boy, do we need your prayer support. Because that already is a spiritual battle that may be impacting us individually, our families, maybe even our church family. But I think it's no coincidence that Paul encourages us to stand firm in the face of spiritual battle right after he speaks about the relationships in the family. Is that not the locale of some of our most difficult struggles? Marriage, parenting, the workplace. Marriage is hard, and it's fraught with conflict. We struggle with disagreements. We struggle with financial pressures. We struggle with temptations. Parenting is harder. Well, that's my opinion anyway. It's harder in a culture dominated by affluence and pressure to conform and do and have what everyone else does and has. It's easy to ignore what our children are doing or going through at times and just pretend things are fine. It's hard not to get angry. And how many of us struggle, or how many of us should struggle, with the ethics of the workplace? Cutting corners, profit above all else. These are the places the battle rages. Do not think there is no spiritual warfare going on around you. But Paul tells us in verses 14 to 17 that we have the spiritual weaponry to stand firm. Stand, therefore, verse 14, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The belt of truth. We need to be people characterized by integrity and honesty and sincerity. If you profess to be a Christian, you need to be one in your everyday life. And the way to do that is not in your own strength, but not through some kind of behavioral modification program either. It's by knowing God, who He is, who He says you are, what He expects from us, how we are to live. And thankfully, we don't rely on our own righteousness for that, but on the righteousness of Christ. That's what Paul calls our breastplate in his battle armor imagery here. And he actually gets it from Isaiah 59, which I hope to live long enough to preach here at Westkirk someday. We're going to pick up Isaiah at chapter 13 sometime this summer. So we got a long ways to go. But there in chapter 59, when talking about the Messiah to come in wrath and in justice with the wrath of God, Isaiah says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. If you are racked by guilt over your sin or over your inadequacy or over what you think is wrong with you or your failures, and some of you are, you struggle with that. Remember whose you are. If you are in Christ, you belong to Him. You belong to Christ, and you have Christ's righteousness, not only upon you, but to battle with in the struggle against sin. And after all that talk about standing firm, I think it's great that Paul then calls on us to put on shoes that are readiness from the gospel of peace. Shoes as readiness means that as Christians, we're following Christ. Now that's rather cliche. We say it all the time. We follow Jesus Christ. But that means we actually go where He went. We cannot just come here to this building to escape the sinful world around us. We come here to gear ourselves up to go back into the world and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to those who need the peace and the reconciliation that comes only from Him. And then we put on the shield of faith so that we can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And that's what our temptations are. That's what they're like, right? Darts that fly and they fly around, they're temptations and they puncture us and they wound us and they burn us and they penetrate and they hurt. We battle those temptations by daily exercising our faith, reading the word, praying continuously, worship. We fellowship with one another for accountability, for encouragement. Don't skip worship. We need it. We need our eyes to be focused on Jesus. And then we put on the helmet of salvation. Charles Hodge, the great Princeton theologian, talked about the helmet of salvation adorning us and protecting us so that we can hold our heads high with confidence and joy. Because we are saved. Are you saved? Have you heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Have you believed and turned to follow him, leaving behind your sin and the selfish direction that you were going before you were in Christ? Finally, then, it is the sword of the Spirit that we're to wield in this battle. Paul tells us it is the Word of God. Word and Spirit again. Do you catch that? We've seen that throughout this letter. Word and Spirit. How did Jesus fend off Satan at his own time of temptation? By quoting truth from the scriptures, right? Nothing has convinced me of how little the Bible I know and have memorized more than taking these ordination exams. If I need to know the Bible more, we all need to know the Bible more. It needs to saturate us, saturate who we are. Every day brings something that the Word of God directs us about. And if you don't know it, you don't hear it. But God cannot direct us with his word if we're not reading it, if we're not in it. Why would you enter combat without a weapon? We have the spiritual weaponry to stand firm. And as we conclude this letter, we find we have two other things going for us. We have prayer and we have one another. Prayer and people. We stand firm together. We stand firm together. First, prayer at verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. There was repetition in there too. Did you catch it? This one is a little more subtle. It's the word all, four times. All times, all prayer, all perseverance, all the saints. I would sum this up by saying, pray a lot and keep praying. We need it. And don't forget to pray for me and the church staff. We're often on the front lines of this spiritual warfare and suffering for it in our personal lives and in our family lives. And it's hard to talk about it because it sounds like we're complaining. I am grateful for your prayers, and I'm grateful for how often I will get a text from one of you or an email saying that you've just prayed for me and appreciate me or something about our church or something that someone else in our church family did. God answers those prayers, and he often does so just in the right time. And that's what God's about, the right time. Everything with God is the right time. The second thing we have going for us is one another. Finishing it up now at verse 21. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Isn't that sweet? That is so sweet. I was just reminded of a time not too long ago when my friend Kevin got on an airplane and he came here to be with me. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. God often meets my needs with you, and he does for you as well. With your prayers, as I just said, but often with you in person. He sends you to make an offer, to be present, to volunteer for something, to lead something that needs doing, to fix something that needs fixing. Here for the church in Ephesus, God sends through Paul Tychicus. Would you be that person for somebody this week? Would you? I mean, listen, we have a lot of people here who are really good at this. They're good at showing up when you need them. They're good at calling when you need a call. But this week, for the rest of us who have a hard time remembering to do things like that and following through, sometimes I think about it, but then I don't follow through. Let's make this a week in which we all reach out to someone and encourage them in the Lord. We need one another. We need a battle companion sometimes who's willing to get in the fight with us. The elders do that for me sometimes. Often, actually. And they do it for you. You may not even know it. Do not think you can live the Christian life alone. If there's someone who's watching online now because you think you can live the Christian life alone and it's sufficient to just watch church on TV, come be with us. And if you're not here in Iowa, find my email and I will help you find a church where you are. Together is the way we fight the good fight. We stand firm together. So be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've already in Christ triumphed over the principalities and the powers and the forces of evil in the heavenly places. That the heavenly places, though they are a battle zone for us, are also the sphere of our every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thank you. Help us to stay in the fight. Help us to put on the armor of God and keep it on every day. And reinforced by supplies of grace given to us in answers to prayer and by the fellowship with one another and the encouragement of God, of your people. Lord God, encourage us to persevere in and through your word and your spirit for your glory and honor, we pray. Amen.
We respond to the hearing of the word by singing Like a River Glorious, number 494 in your hymnal and projected.
Brothers and sisters, hear this benediction from today's text. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Go in peace. Amen.